Stand by for The Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, The Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning, it's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
Saturday, August 13th, 2016, ESPN 1520. Call us, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541, about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and baseball. And if you're listening tonight at midnight on the rebroadcast, we're not here. But we are here now, 803-1520 locally, 800-879-7541 outside of Western New York. We also have free economic research posted at our website, sapriston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, every Saturday morning at about 7:05. And there's a nice commentary this week about the jobs report and what that means. And a little bit about online sales and how that's growing. Very interesting. 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Show's brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. Do your own research, which is why you're going to call us and ask us questions. New highs in the market, Peter.
That's right. It's at all three major stock market indexes simultaneously on Thursday hit highs.
It's good, right?
Well, I don't know. If you say the first time that has happened since December 31st, 1999, during the dot-com boom. Any significance to that?
I hope not. We hope not.
But it says, you know, basically, you know, the market just climbs little by little. I mean, when the week was done, the Dow was up 0.2%, S&P 0.1%.
I saw that. Not really terrific.
It was basically a flat week, you know, in the market. But, you know, flat is better than down, no question about that.
Yeah, gold was about flat, but oil was up $3.
Well, what's interesting is I remember many years ago there was a index. I think the Federal Reserve even used it to figure out what P the market should trade at.
Yeah.
And they would take what they call, and God knows I've forgotten why it's called that, but it's like the earnings yield of the 10-year treasury. Okay, so what you do is you
which is about 1.48.
No, the earnings yield, okay, is 2 point something divided into 100, okay?
Huh?
Yeah, so basically, if say the Treasury was trading at 5%, you divide it into 100, it says the market can trade it at 20 PE.
All right, so it's trading at 1.5.
That's a rule of thumb, right? So now, say that what is the 10-year at?
1.5.
1.5. What's 1.5 into 100? I can't even calculate that. It's about 60-some-odd time PE the market could trade at.
Yes.
Based on that old rule of thumb. You don't hear anybody talking about that old rule of thumb anymore, right? But that was the rule of thumb the Fed used to use, you know. So, you know, I remember looking at it many years ago, and, you know, interest rates were, say, 6%, so the market could trade theoretically at 16 PE. So right now, you know, based on that number, the market can trade over at a 60 PE if you want to follow that rule of thumb. There's always something that makes you feel good, you know, so that would indicate theoretic. But the bottom line is, I mean, the market goes up because interest rates are extremely low. And where else are you going to put your money? You know, so as long as that's the case, unless something comes out of the blue, you know, the market.
Well, we're having more and more trouble finding even things that are have a reasonable yield. And I suppose you could say a reasonable yield is 3% or better with the 10-year Treasury at 1.5.
Well, if you did a search for all stocks with 3%, you come up with hundreds of stocks probably. You might not like those hundreds
of
stocks.
Well, I was going to say that.
Right?
I don't want to buy junk.
But believe me, there are hundreds of stocks that trade at a 3% or more, you know, yield. You know, no question about that. So that possibility is still there. Other people, they don't buy for yield. You know, they buy for growth. So they don't worry about dividends on stocks. So everybody has a different approach.
You bet.
And I was always reminded, you know, I was listening to a trader, and he was talking about a guy who just made 25% on one of the trading room's recommendations, you know. And he said, I know another guy who bought the same stock at the same time as the guy who made 25%, and he lost money.
Timing.
It's not timing. They bought at exactly the same time. So what happens is they have different plans, different approaches to the market. Some people get rattled by the market, and the stock drops a little bit, and they take a loss because they couldn't stand the fact it went down 10 or 15% first or whatever. The other guy, he had a plan. He had a stop at some level. It didn't hit his stop. He had targets. It hit his target. That's the difference, you know. So when it comes down to you, it's you, not the market, that causes your difficulties.
You can't blame the market?
No, can't blame the market. It's you that causes your own problems, you know. I mean, I've always admitted truth of myself many years ago when I attempted to trade the options market, which I haven't touched in decades. And I found out I was just a greedy person. And you can't be a greedy person in the option market. So, you know, you'd see how quickly option prices would move, and you say, oh, I doubled. Yeah, but maybe I'll make four times my money, right? So I remember there was like 10 trades I gave to a friend of mine that I did. And he said, you know, whenever you see something good, let me know. I lost on 9 out of 10. He made on 9 out of 10 out of the same trades, done at the same time, right?
Well, that's what Victor always says when he calls and plays the options.
Exactly. So
I'll take $400.
That's a lesson that people don't learn in life, you know, no question about it. It's you yourself who are the biggest cause of your problems in the market. So right now, enough philosophy.
Probably anywhere else, right?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. 803-1520, that's 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. And, you know, there was another little piece on, or a comment in one of the articles in Barron's this weekend, which is interesting. He says, stocks doubling as high flyers really isn't unprecedented. But staples, utilities, and telecoms have made up at least 35% of the momentum basket four times, you know, before this, and this is the fifth time that they've made up at least 35%. And what the momentum basket is, you take the top gainers in the Russell 1000 over the past 12 months, and based on that, they said, you know, more than 30% of those stocks are considered the momentum stocks. So right now you've had staples, utilities, and telecoms making up
hard to believe
more than one-third of the MOMO stocks or the momentum stocks.
They've been the hot stuff, right?
Yep. And they said, really, the only time that has happened before is four other times, and that was when the market was getting killed, which made more sense. Everybody ran into them.
803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541, the Dollar Doctors. Good morning, John.
How we doing, guys?
Good.
I got two of my little conservative guys for you. I want to know, Corning, do we break out yet? And CSX, I'm going, what are you looking at here?
CSX was just recommended by one of the Motley Fools.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, you don't like to hear fools recommending anything, right?
Right. Corning broke out, and what we call a triple top breakout at about 22, and it's at 20, close, just under 23. Price objective 24.5.
Oh, that's not much room.
Well, that's based on their method of doing it.
Yeah, you know, years ago it was almost 200.
See,
right?
But if you did what they call a horizontal count on that chart, it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1.5 would be 7.5 added to 19. It's 26.5. Okay, so a little bit more. But your big test will be the old high, last year, right in the 25 area.
Now, let's say if it got through that, what are we looking at?
Well, I mean, if you got through that, potentially you're looking at 14 points off the low, maybe 30, 29, 30.
Okay. All right. So if we got through 25, we get a little higher, I'll take some off the table then.
Definitely. And theoretically, if you get through 25 with a nice move, you know, you would hope to see support, say, in the 24, 25 area, you know.
Right.
And the other one was CSX. Huh?
I thought we were just going to stop. The Motley Fools recommended it. That's it. We can stop.
Well, I need a second opinion.
Right. Well, after all, we are the dollar doctors. Right. You want a second opinion. Right.
We're not the Motley Fools.
Right. Right. It would make a nice breakout if it hit 30. It would make a triple top breakout. Give a nice buy signal, and the downtrend line's in the 32 area, so you'd want to take that out. But to me, it looks like it's built a nice little base, had a false breakdown. It's very bullish when you break down below the previous range, and now you break out above that range.
Uh-huh. It didn't quite break out above the range.
But if it does, if it goes to 30,
if it does.
You're not paying attention to what I'm saying.
No, but I just wanted all the listeners to understand.
But anyway, if it broke out to 30, I think you get a shot at 37.
Yeah, well, that's where I sold a third of it when I was at 36 before.
And good move.
I'm just sitting there smiling that I got rid of that and hanging in there.
It's always nice to have those little profits in the bank, right?
Yeah. And I got one. Oh God, I had one more I was thinking about, and I'm trying to remember if it was. Oh my goodness, I can't think of it now.
Well,
you can always call.
Well, you can always call back, because I'm sure we'll have time.
age affects the memory, guys.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
Don't bring that up.
Well, have a great weekend, and always nice to listen to you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
nice
John.
Talking to you. Take care.
You're listening to Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctors, live Saturday, August 13th at about 10:15, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 with your questions. Good morning, Rich.
Oh, good morning, Willard.
How are you?
Good to you again, and good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Willard, when a stock, of course, is getting close to double digits in interest rate, I mean in the dividend rate, like FRO, Frontline, what do we think of that? I mean, that dividend's so high, to me it's kind of scary. But it was recommended on Nightly Business about a week ago.
When you look at the dividend history, is it increasing, decreasing, or level?
Right.
You have to look at that. I don't have it on the screen we're on. And that would say to me, I would like it level or increasing. If they've been cutting the dividend and looking at the chart, I would be stopping it at $7.
Oh, okay.
And it closed where?
And it closed at 8.17.
Yeah. See, it's been basing, three times. It's hit that 7 area 3 times now. And, that's the key. So, if you're taking a shot at it, and if it drops to...
Well, it would have to be 7, really.
Yeah.
Now, on a quarter box chart, it's had built a nice base, and at 8.50, it might be on its way. But I'd go back, if you're owning this thing for the dividend, and just check.
What's that?
If you're owning it for the dividend, check the dividend. I think they've cut it. And,
That dividend, from what I could gather, has bounced around. It's been higher, it's been lower.
I remember a higher dividend on it than 4%. It's 4.8 right now. And
I thought he said 10%.
Well, it's now 4.8. Okay, it used to be 10.
Oh, okay.
And the question is, do they even earn the dividend, right? You want to look at that.
Yeah, right. Another one that he recommended was Brandywine Realty Trust, the symbol Boy David Nancy.
BDN?
Yeah, BDN.
Must be rusty here. Hold on.
And by the way, you know, when you talk about did they earn their dividends, usually earnings isn't the whole story, you know, because some
well,
companies...
Well, certainly not for oil and gas and things with depletion allowances.
Yeah, right, exactly. So.
But Frontline is not an oil and gas.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they depreciate. Do they depreciate those big tankers they buy?
Maybe.
Right? I don't know. You have to look at free cash flow, really.
I was looking, but he brought up another stock. So you want to know whether to sell that? You will own it, Brandywine?
No, I don't know anything other than the guy recommended it. I really never heard of it before.
Well, it's interesting how people recommend things after they've had a nice run.
Yeah, I mean, at 11 or 12 bucks, it was a great thing, and now it's at 17.
So probably what he wants you to do is go get it up higher so he can take profits on it.
I mean, it's up 21% this year.
30, I'd be okay.
Yeah. It's up 21% this year, and it's right now at the high of the range on the charts.
It doesn't mean it can't go higher.
That's
but,
right.
You know, where's the 50-day and the 200?
50-day is 1640. It closed at 1650, and the 200-day at 1458. I mean, if someone said I had to buy it, I would do a buy on stop at 1750.
Okay.
In other words, if it broke out, I would want to own it. If it doesn't break out, that's that.
Okay. Now, this is a boring one that's been around for 1,000 years. Coca-Cola, it seemed like it's in love with the low 40s.
Well, it certainly hasn't performed like Pepsi.
Is Buffett still in that? Probably. I think he owns some of Coca-Cola. Yeah. He's patient.
Oh, he's big in Coca-Cola. Yeah.
He can afford to be patient, right?
Right, yeah. There you go.
Hey, you want to buy it or you want to know whether to sell it?
I was out of it. I got out of it when it was a little over. I think I got out when it was 45.
Oh,
and
okay.
It dropped the next day or two. And now it's come back to 40. I think it dropped to 43 a couple days ago.
Closed at 44 right now.
Yeah, surprisingly, the chart is a bullish chart, okay? You know, it ran up, it broke out to 47, then it came back and retested the breakout area in the 43, 44 area, and now it reversed again. Yeah. So that one's kind of an easy one, because if it dropped back below that 43 area or so, you know, then you'd say, okay, maybe there's a problem.
Having said that, it's up 2.5% this year, which is less than the market. And less than many of the food and beverage stocks. Just throwing that out.
Yeah, so it's just one. If you like it, you buy it.
You buy it, and you know,
10 years.
And if it dropped to 42, I might reevaluate it at that point, unless you're a long-term holder.
Because if it dropped to 37, I'd buy more.
Now, I have Pepsi. We like that, don't we?
Yes.
Pepsi's always done a much better job, you know, because they diversified, you know.
Okay. And
I think Pepsi makes a good part of their profit from their snack business, you know.
And it's had a large base breakout, which we like, and has a price objective of 131. It's closed around 108, 109.
It's 10, just under 109 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I would certainly be holding that guy.
It looks very nice. Should have good support, 99 to 100.
Right. Now, before we go... It looks like maybe Disney might be perking up a little, do you think?
Someone was recommending it on CNBC yesterday. I didn't quite catch who it was.
It looks like the bad stuff is out of it, or negativity, or I don't know.
I mean, it's been going no place for most of the year, you know.
Right.
Between about what?
Well, 91 and 105, 100.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you got real good support down there, and you know, in the low 90s, right? Actually, 94 to 95 has been holding up very well in here.
they pay a low dividend that's only twice a year. So yeah, I don't know if that influences people or one way or the other. I don't know.
It's bouncing off its uptrend line.
Yeah.
It's a long-term uptrend line. So it looks interesting. I saw one firm came out and they thought Disney was worth at least 116, right?
It seems to me, too, though, that if they come out with some blockbuster movie, that changes a lot of things as far as being optimistic.
Well, it does, but everybody's focused on the cable business right now. You know, their ESPN especially. And that's what everybody's focusing on. And I didn't get a chance to read it this morning, but whatever this firm was that says it fair value is 116 or something, that they like what they're going to be doing with ESPN. They're apparently going to be doing something different with ESPN or parts of it and how they provide it and so forth, and they kind of like what they're doing, you know. So if all of a sudden, people start looking at the cable thing as somewhat more positive, then this thing really could take off.
I thank you, gentlemen. Peter
okay.
and Willard.
Thank you, John.
Good weekend. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Give us a ring. Lines are open, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. The Dollar Doctors, Willard Sapriston and Peter Greco. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Willard. Good morning, Peter.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
Hey, young fella, I'm checking on the stock NE, Nancy Edwards.
Noble Energy?
Yeah, and what it is they have these rigs, the oil rigs, and it's in with oil, you know?
Yeah, it's really looking great as it keeps falling.
I know it.
I don't know. They may have a problem. I don't know what it is because a lot of drilling firms and cheap oil stocks and so forth have been going through the roof here.
Yeah, I know it.
And I don't like matter of fact, it just gave a major sell signal at 6, you know.
Really?
Yep.
Wowee.
Or 6.5, rather. Was that it? 6.5.
Well, yeah, it broke 7.
Yeah, broke 7 support, hit 6.5.
Yeah.
Looks like it did it on, Friday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good.
When it's red, it's yesterday.
Yeah, doesn't look good.
And not good.
Unless you got some play money, take a shot at it.
You already own it, right?
I own it, yeah.
Well, good luck.
I own it.
What'd you say?
Thanks a lot, fellas.
You own that at 37, John, you said?
Oh, no. I bought that at $7.
Oh, okay.
$7.50.
Okay.
Not 37.
Well, be careful. It doesn't look terrific.
Okay. Hey, thanks, gentlemen.
Okay.
Call any time. Yep. Thank you.
Doesn't mean it won't work out. It just doesn't fit our criteria for something we'd look at, So.
Got it. Good morning, Larry.
Morning.
How can we help?
Just wanted to see your thoughts on a few stocks, one of them being Valero. VLO is the symbol.
Yeah, major refining stock. I don't think refiners have been doing very well lately, but we'll take a look.
Well, Holly hasn't. I've still found that. Oh, wait, hold on a minute. Did something wrong.
I think you got the computer gods upset here.
I think you're right. Valero. So Valero hit a low in the 47 range and turned around. Around 54, close 54.13. Your moving averages are 51 for the 50-day, 61 for the 200-day, so it's a little upside down. Come on.
And if it's going to die, it's going to die right around here.
Yeah.
Because it just rallied right up into resistance, which was previous broken support on the chart. So this is critical, if it can still move up through this area,
You may get into the 59 range.
Right.
You may.
But, they could die right here.
Again, as Peter says, it doesn't fit our criteria. I like that when you say that.
Yep,
I mean, it doesn't fit mine anyways.
Yep,
I don't know about Peter.
But anyway, it is in a previously broken support area, which now is resistance. And I'd watch it, you know. I don't know, do you own it? You're looking to buy it or what?
No, I have it, and I was just trying to figure out if it's worth buying more, and also is at what point is it worth looking at selling it?
Well, this could be the point, right? Because, you know, like I said, watch it. See if it can start moving up a little further next week, and then you're in better position. Then you would be talking about the 59 to 60 area, but it could die right here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And then what do you think about Kemmer's CC?
Oh, that one's nice. Kimora, that was spun off from what, Dow Chemical, I believe?
DuPont.
Or DuPont, right. Rather, yeah.
We are having a little computer trouble here.
Yeah. Now, that one's been very strong lately.
It sure
it's,
has.
It's moving up very nicely. Should have good support around
10.50.
10.50. And could rally up to where it came out at about, you know. Yeah,
24 price objective.
But see, yeah, 16.50 would be the next reasonable area. Yeah, I like that.
What do they do? They're chemical?
They're chemical, yeah. I think they were their specialty chemical business for, well, you said DuPont, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that was a specialty chemical. I'm
CC.
Not sure. Yeah, but
Chemours, is that how you pronounce it?
Chemours, yeah.
Chemours.
Yep. Chart looks very good.
And good volume.
Yep.
It traded 3 million shares yesterday.
You own that one, right?
Right, and I like the fact that it paid a dividend, too, at such a cheap stock.
Yeah. So I say, you know, as long as support in the 10.50 area holds, that you have a shot at that 16.5.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And then what do you think about Bristol-Myers?
Well, that was interesting, you know, the way it fell apart on the bad news.
Not for the gentleman I was talking about earlier, Peter.
What's that?
Bristol-Myers, he has a lot of it.
Yeah. But, you know, like somebody had called and he wanted to jump in on the open, you know, that Monday, was it? Maybe this previous Monday.
Yeah.
And I said, don't do it unless the stock doesn't show any follow-through. Unfortunately, it opened at, what, 62, 63, somewhere around there, and just kept dropping. But said the area around 58 to 60 could be very strong support in here.
And what the way I told the gentleman was, and I said our computer, if it changes columns, and it's a point and figures what they call a three-box reversal system, every box being a point, so if it changes columns and goes up 3 points from even 58, where the final support is, then you could take a shot at it. But unless it reverses itself, you don't know where the bottom is. So I wouldn't buy any more, and if I own it, I'm not selling it. That's me. But, you know, you've got to have your own discipline.
Okay. Thank you. But on that one, I don't have any, so that's good points. I appreciate that. And then what do you think about Owens Corning?
What is that, O-W?
O-C.
O-C-W?
I just
O-
is oh, it O-C?
Corning, yeah, so. O-C. Here we go. Okay.
Well, it's been very strong. It's pulling back to test the previous breakout.
Support at 52. Closed at 53.70.
Yeah, so
I
would
if
say,
I own it, I wouldn't sell it.
Yeah, and I mean, and it broke out to new highs, okay, and it's pulling back into support. I use support. You don't want to use exact. I'd say 50 to 52 in that range. You know, certainly if it stopped right here, which is what, 53, where to close?
53.79.
Yeah. So, you know, it's testing that area, and if it's as strong a stock as it looks, that's a good area, you know.
Price objective 79.
Yeah. So I'd be interested in looking to buy it, to tell you the truth.
Thank you.
And if you owned it, don't sell it.
I do own some of that, so that's good to know. What do you think about Johnson Controls?
JCI.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that in years. closed at 44.
I mean, it's in a lot of resistance, but the good news on it is after totally breaking down
and going to 35 or 34,
right, it's reversed and given a buy signal, okay, which is potentially very bullish. So this is key resistance here. You know, it's at the downtrend line. If it goes to, what, 48, breaks the downtrend line, then it could test the 53, 54 area.
Yeah, mid-50s.
Yeah. And, you know, I would only get concerned if it dropped to, say, 41.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate everything from you, too, and we'll definitely be calling you in the future. You do a great job.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks, Larry.
Very much.
We're just trying to help you set up your own plan, right? You got to have a plan on every stock.
Yeah, that's why we always try to say if it drops to a certain level, then reevaluate it, you know.
Thank you.
Okay.
And if you took notes, good. If you didn't take notes, we're archived on the website, you know.
Okay.
So you and that comes up maybe Sunday morning or Monday?
Yeah, over the weekend.
Over the weekend, yeah.
Yep.
Good, Larry.
We'll
thanks.
We'll call you in the future.
Okay. Thank right. you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. We're going to break.
Dollar Doctors, every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back. Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, live Saturday, August 13th, 2016 on ESPN 1520. The show is brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. We manage accounts. We manage 403Bs. We manage 401Ks away. Go to our website every Saturday morning about 7:05 for free economic research from Sterling McCarthy and a recap of interest rates and the indexes and gold and oil the last week, the last month, the last year. Very helpful. Big, big article today on the jobs report. Give us a ring now, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Do your own research. Do your own plan. Good morning, Rick.
I'm calling to find out how you as technicians would react to a particular stock that has taken a huge fall over the last year, but it seems to have come back somewhat, and it's probably one of the worst-performing companies that supply sand for frackers, Emerge Energy Services, E, M as in Mary, E, S as in Sam.
I just bought it for myself.
At what price?
Oh, I think 11.20.
Huh. So I think the stock could have rolled about
the symbol?
5 or so.
EMES.
Yeah.
So they just came out with pretty bad earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's two other stocks.
Well, when did they come out with bad earnings?
I think in the past week.
Well, it didn't matter. Stock went up. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would ignore the earnings and...
I tell you, you ignore all those things. You look at the action of the stock, which tells you what people are really thinking.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's waving his hands when he's talking,
right,
which means...
Yeah.
Pay attention,
right,
except
yeah,
we're not
yeah,
on
yeah.
TV.
Well, yeah. Things are built in. Sometimes the earnings are bad and people expected worse. I mean, there's all sorts of things, all right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a very bullish article on the fractal sand energy
about
industry.
About a month ago, right?
And there's going to be a lot of consolidation in that industry.
Now, there's another company you may have heard of.
Silica.
U.S. Silica, SLCA.
Another very good one.
That I viewed as the best of those companies, and that, I think, is trading near its 52-week
true.
High.
Yeah,
which is why I didn't buy it when the article came out. I remember looking.
It's true.
Yeah. Great chart, though.
Yep.
So when you read that article, would you have considered Emerge Energy Service, or were you waiting for the chart to indicate, you know?
I never buy. Say I read the article, then I look at the chart and say, does the chart make sense? Does it jibe with the article?
Because I know when I looked at this about a month ago, maybe longer, the stock was sticking around 5, 6, 7. And obviously, you have a lot more experience and knowledge than I do, but I wasn't convinced that there was momentum moving the stock up while U.S. Silica, you know, was moving up.
Right. Yeah.
So I just thought, you know what? Even though the sector might be coming back, this stock has had problems. I don't want to gamble, you know, with this company in the sector. I'd rather, you know, I could sleep. I would feel more comfortable putting money into U.S. Silica.
I totally agree. I mean, if you have a strong sector, you'd like to look at the top stocks in the sector. You know?
Yeah, and since you know are confident or positive on Emerge Energy Services, would you have any target price? Because I know this stock, I think a year ago, 2 years ago, went up to about 140.
Well, I was only looking for potentially, say, 15, 16, then maybe 19, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if the stock broke through the support level, you would still hold on? And
no.
I mean the resistance level, I mean.
Oh, yeah, but what I've been doing, and it took me years to do this, I always sell a part of my position at each target. Make a plan, pick a couple targets, and say, hey, got to my first target, let me take a half or a third, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then just wait, you know, move my stop, you know, where I'm going to be out of it. You know, that's not an investing position, but at least it's a way to hopefully make a profit on a stock that's going up rather than give it all back. You know,
it's probably a very positive signal when earnings report comes out that's very bad and the stock goes up.
Exactly.
That's the opposite of what happened to me with a healthcare staffing company, where the earnings report came out very good, positive outlook. I haven't read one negative thing about the stock, and the stock dropped from about 44 down to about 34.
Yeah. See, the problem is the number by itself means nothing. You have to base on what the expectations were, what was the little fly in the ointment there, you know, that got people upset, you know.
Yes.
I remember years ago I was in some company that was going to, oh, it was Minnesota Fats Pool Tables.
Oh, my God.
Of all things. And
you and Paul Newman.
And the earnings came out. They were unbelievable, right? And I said, oh, my God, and the stock shot up. By the next earnings report, which was horrendous, the stock was on its way to bankruptcy.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the info.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, interesting area.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. You're listening to Willard Sapristan, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctor, is brought to you by Sapristan Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA. We are live. Call us with questions because I know you're making your plan and doing your own research. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, 803-1520 in Western New York, or 800-879-7541. Good morning, Pete.
Hi, good morning, Peter. Good morning, Willard.
Good morning.
Morning. I have two stocks for you. One I hold a lot of, which is First Majestic Silver, AG. I didn't like the action on it yesterday. Gold and silver started out real strong, and mid-morning it went down into negative. But First Majestic went up in the morning, and it went negative far in advance of the gold and silver prices. And it continued negative through most of the day and finished negative, although it seemed to come back in the late afternoon. Do you see this as normal retracement, or do you think that's something that isn't quite right with us?
These days, normal is a lot of volatility. Yeah. You got to live with a lot of volatility. You know, I'll be in a stock, I watch it shoot to a new high, and then it collapses later. You know, and then it takes off again. You know. So what you have is a lot of traders out there in these momentum stocks. Mm-hmm. Look at where the stocks come from.
Yeah.
What was the low?
Absolutely.
5, 6, I don't know. You know, and it's come up to 17, 18, wherever it is.
Close at 18, 10.
You know, a lot of people are itchy, you know, and I happen to know that this is a favorite in trading rooms, okay?
Well, that's the way I felt. I took a third of it and stopped it up at 1750, and the remainder down between 1390 and 1490. Mm-hmm. Does that seem logical to you?
We're gonna. I keep switching charts just to see if I can get a different.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
No.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, based on a regular bar chart, which a lot of times tells you a lot more than the point and figure chart. Okay.
You know how to read it.
Yeah, but it you know reasonable. And sometimes what I do too, for better or worse, I've been wrong before. If I think like you're thinking and saying, "Geez, that's strange. I don't like the way it should have," you know, I take a little off just in case, right?
Well, that's what I figure would happen with the 1750, rather than just outright sell it.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Everybody does it a different way. But like I say, sometimes I've done it and said, geez, every gold stock or every stock in this industry are moving up. Mine goes down on this day. Maybe I shouldn't be in it, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Could you look at one more, please?
Sure.
I bought a stock on Friday, Micron Technology, MU, hoping to make a little money on it. I bought it at about $14.98, and I got it stopped at $14.
I mean, it looks like it's going to break the downtrend, and at $15 or $15.50, you've had a serious breakout. Close at 1493.
Of course, you're right at the downtrend.
Yeah, well, you're at the downtrend is the problem.
You're at the long-term downtrend line.
You're either going to make it or fail.
And you're in resistance. Previous support is now resistance. So if the higher, lower highs and lower lows are to continue, this would be a place it would die, right? So
I would think for it.
Yeah, right where it is, you know.
But I think at 15 or 15 and a quarter, it looks very good.
That it would look good if it did that.
So watch it carefully. That's the kind of stock I would have bought at 15 or 15 and a quarter on stop. In other words, it had to go just a little higher.
And
do the breakout before I'd be comfortable.
Yeah. So you want to see that follow through now.
Okay.
So watch it carefully. And where would we be worried with this guy, Peter? Peter here, not Pete.
Well, certainly on the point and figure chart, it's 14.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. So you're taking a buck risk.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Yeah. And you have a chance, you know. It's been a great company over the years, whatever that means.
Well, yeah, I mean, I looked at the numbers, and it's reasonably profitable. It's got a high PE, but probably a lot of those do.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right with it. Let's hope so.
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Pete. Give us a ring. We're live. Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco, Saturday, August 13th, 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 at 1045. If you're listening tonight, we're not here. If you're listening to the website where we're archived, we're not there. And you can get us live and streaming on the website at sapriston.com besides the free economic research, and we do tweet, and we do give the market closes every day on Twitter and on Facebook. Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning. Buy healthcare. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
CVX or what?
No. Whoever makes IV antibiotics, that's what to go with.
Don't tell me you've been back in the hospital.
I was in twice in Illinois.
God.
And I was lucky. I was there for my son's wedding and got out and ended up back in about a week and a half later. But like I would call the boys, you were gone. I said, whoever makes those flushes for IV lines with the syringes, they use tons of those every day. And plus IV antibiotics and those rubber gloves and the stuff they use to sanitize with.
Yeah.
Kimberly Clark. That's, I asked the guy, he said, where do you get all these gloves and sanitaries from? Kimberly Clark. And then Stryker, all the beds that they use, you know, how many is all from Stryker. But no, the one thing I'm calling about, what do you think about Wendy's? I own it at 325.
I sold it for one client because it wasn't acting the way I wanted it to. We didn't lose any money, but it didn't look to me like it wanted to go higher all of a sudden. And another client I was looking this morning when I was in there early. I mean, it's, you're really okay as long as it doesn't go to maybe $8. But I didn't want to wait for that. It closed at almost $10, you see. That's 20%.
Right. Well, I was hoping. I had bought it when it was way, way beaten down and that stuff, and it's been was going up, and then all of a sudden it hit like 10-something, and then it just hit the brakes because I figured it was going to break out a little bit.
So
and
did I.
To get rid of it, but, you know, I may still may sell it, but I was wondering because the places, you know, down here are pretty well, and especially in wintertime, even in the summertime, I mean, you can go there and two of you can eat for $4.28. You can't beat that.
I'm with you. You know, we ate at that other place of yours, that ale house.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
And I had the meatloaf.
Oh, you were there on Thursday.
And it was lunch.
Yeah. They have it on, Thursday. I haven't been there since.
And it was absolutely delicious, but I think I had indigestion all afternoon.
Oh, yeah. It's very spicy. I know that. But like I say, they have different specials every day. At noontime, and I think, well, I don't know what they are now, but they used to be $5 for the meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
$5.90 or something. It was very reasonable. My wife had a nice salad, of course. And
they have a nice taco salad one day and then, you know, fish and chips. But, I mean, we go to Wendy's, and you can get a dollar hamburger, a dollar fry, and a free drink. And for two of us, it's cost $4.28. Maybe that's why they're not making any money.
I was just going to say that.
I know.
And I don't know if you heard Mike talk about being greedy. You go from 3 to 10
right,
or 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, I figured that myself. I should get rid of it.
Right.
You know. All right. Well, like I said, you watch Kimberly Clark.
Okay.
Whoever makes IV antibiotics. Right. That's
what I don't like is you're continually back in the hospital with infection. Can't they get rid of it?
Well, it's a cellulitis, and it pops up right on top of the hip replacement.
Yeah.
And I flew out early. I come back and I've been at the three different doctors so far. I go in Wednesday to have an aspiration where they stick a needle through the groin area into the replacement.
Go easy here. I know what they call us doctors, but we're really dollar doctors, not medical. And
I
get queasy.
Yeah. All right. Have a good week.
You
good
too.
To hear from
Take
you,
care.
Dominic.
Bye.
Call us. Lines are open, 803-1520. Or 1-800-879-7541. The Dollar Doctor is live at 10:49, August 13th, Saturday. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Before I ask you about a couple stocks, I hate to even ask this question, but do you think the market has priced in a Democratic victory in November?
Well, supposedly, they're saying the market would love a Democratic victory.
They've always done well with Democrats.
Right.
So who knows? I don't know, but...
it buckles my knees even to think about that, you know?
I agree with you.
Well, the whole political scene
But anyway, you better
nauseous.
Ask about your stocks. We're running out of time.
Yes, I know. Why do we do that?
Right.
Toro. TTC.
TTC. Haven't looked at that one in many decades.
I looked at Briggs & Stratton for a client the other day at the top of the range. Toro looks terrific.
Hopefully,
what are they selling?
You own it?
Yeah. They sell all the lawnmowers and snowblowers. Yeah, I own it. I'm just at the point where I wonder whether I should be taking profits or not, you know, so...
It would be hard to sell that chart if someone transferred the stock. And for me, I would probably put a stop loss for part of it if they had a lot. But, you know, if I put the stop loss at 90, that's right where the support is. So it's one of those hard to tell. Peter probably has some good ideas.
You could be selling into support. You know, where's the moving averages?
Yeah. Well, the 50 days at 89.68, okay. So you're at the same.
Yeah, so 90 would be a possibility.
200 at 90 at 82.
Yeah, so you know, if you're real long term, you use 82.
Yeah.
And 90 would be your first alert, maybe, you know, that you should be doing something. Yeah, and it never hurts to take a little off the table, believe me.
Yeah, low 80s is where I'm in at it.
Oh, okay.
And so about 90, yeah, okay. 90, yep. I'd be satisfied if it didn't get it, anything below there. And then take a look at Thor Industries.
T-H-O.
T-H-O. Another one through the roof.
Beautiful.
They recently bought one of their competitors, and I forgot the name of the company now, but they make mobile homes and trailers, and you know, it's like, mm-hmm. I guess there's been a boon on that the last number of years.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be selling that if I owned it.
No, and what kind of stop would you look there?
Yeah, look, where's the 50 and 200 down?
I'd probably worry a little at 74, 74 and a half, and okay. The 50-day is 70.
All right, so first one, 74, 74 and a half, next one about around 70.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, and just lastly, silver. You know, it's had such an amazing run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm fortunate enough to own Silver Wheaton.
No, oh, that was a good one, yeah.
But it's at the point where, you know, I know that there's still some, from what I've been reading, there's still some encouragement on the increasing prices of gold and silver. But silver especially has just gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking this morning. I have SIL for some clients. And it just doesn't look like it's ready to be sold.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't put a stop in, and I just backed out of the whole idea. Doesn't mean I'm right, but.
And once again, there's nothing wrong with taking partial profits, you know.
Right.
I mean, you would worry on Silver Wheaton maybe at 28 or 28 and a quarter.
Yeah, but looking at the chart, it looks like, you know, as if
it's shot up.
It could run to 40, right?
Oh, it's possible, but, you know, don't forget, it's just run from,
what, I know,
26.
26 up to 31, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. And but it does have a price objective of 38.
Yeah.
If that means anything.
So, I mean, if I was looking at it and say, well, if I think it could get to 38 or 40, I still might take one third off or something, you know,
yeah.
And say, okay. No, because it might not. It may never get there, right?
Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Vic. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good show.
Thank you.
I saw that Cisco was going to be reporting its earnings this coming week, and I wondered mm-hmm. what the chart looked like.
Those guys' earnings are so unpredictable.
I just looked looked for a client maybe Thursday, and I thought, boy, this is a long-term hold, whatever that means. Price objective 48, close to 30, 31, 50-day moving average at 29, 200 at 27. I wouldn't see any reason to sell that thing.
Well, I don't own it.
Okay.
I was looking to buy.
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd be, if I wanted to put in $10,000, I'd buy, you know, half or something.
Mm-hmm.
When did the earnings come out?
Then that 17th.
Okay, so that's Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up to you. You know, I mean, personally, I don't like buying before earnings, but you know, that's my preference. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that Cisco is very erratic with their earnings, you know. They had very good earnings last quarter, and then all of a sudden they'll not have not so good earnings. So it's up to you. You know, put in half and see what the earnings are. Wait until
maybe
after earnings.
Maybe I'll put in a third.
A third. There you go. Even better.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, we're down to the end of the show.
We are, huh?
That's it. We do to do your own research, which I guess you've said 9 million
times.
Go
to our website for free economic research. Make a plan, right? Keep a little powder dry so you can take advantage of opportunities, as Howard Ewart used to say.
And boy, this market creates tons of opportunities every day. You know,
you bet.
The stock gets hit and you don't know why. You know, like we were talking about Bristol Myers, that might have been an opportunity. Remains to be seen. But, you know, stocks get hit, and sometimes they are opportunities out there. And if you have a little cash available, you can take advantage of the opportunities. You know, if you don't have any, well, hopefully you're doing extremely well and it doesn't matter, right?
So from the Dollar Doctors, and you want to hear us again, listen tonight at midnight or go to our website, sapperston.com. Keep a little powder dry and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Sapperston and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Sapperston Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.